Good morning. Today is Friday, August 19th, and the time is 8:30 a.m. I now call this meeting of the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission of Texas to order pursuant to Chapter 551 of the Government Code. At this time, I will conduct a roll call. Rosie Morris is absent today, and Finance Commission Chair Philip Holt will stand in for Ms. Morris. Chairman Holt, are you present?
Present.
Hector Cerna, are you present?
Present.
We have a quorum of the Audit Committee with three members present. If there is anyone wishing to address the commission, you will need to fill out a witness affidavit form and bring it to the front. Public comments on non-agenda items are limited to 5 minutes and agenda items, 10 minutes. The first order of business is the approval of the minutes of the Finance Commission Audit Committee meeting held on June 24th, 2022. These minutes were circulated to the members in the agenda packet. Are there any corrections to the minutes? Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes of the Finance Commission Audit Committee meeting held on June 24, 2022? Please state your name.
Hector Cerna, so moved.
Second, Philip Holt.
All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Ayes have it, and the motion passes. We will now move on to item B. Commissioner Pettijohn, would you please give us your report?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The report related to our audit activities begins on page 5. There are four items we're reporting on. The first two items are updates that those items are in progress. We're still working on those two items. The third item relates to a controlled penetration test and our rescan results. We just recently received those rescan results, so we'll be reporting those to you at the next meeting. And then the last item relates to our work in response to the state auditor's office report on as a self-directed semi-independent agency. And we had a finding related to a recommendation related to change management procedures. And this note's in progress. We have we are working on implementing a new tracking software, which is going to take us a little bit longer beyond this date that was placed in here. And so we're going to need to defer that completion date. So we'll have an update for you on that at the next meeting. I'm somewhat hopeful we'll have it complete by then, but if not, we'll have an update on that matter. And that's all my audit activities.
Okay, great. Thank you. Commissioner Retta.
Yes, good morning. We have two items to report. One is the control penetration test. That report has been completed in terms of the rescan, and we would like to present that during executive session. Moving on, the second item on legal and enforcement, this had to do with some of the documentation policies and processes, and that is to be completed by August 31st, and we're on track to have that completed in time.
Great, thank you. And Commissioner Cooper?
On page 7 is our report. First item having to do with cybersecurity. We will discuss that in executive session. Second item having to do with the comptroller post-payment audit. We received a preliminary draft of that report. We're in dialogue with the comptroller's office, and it should be available for us at the next meeting, hopefully. And then the final item, the DIR started their control penetration test again, and we should have something back from them by the end of this month to be reported at the next meeting. That's all we have.
Thank you. We will now move on to item C, Commissioner Pettijohn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Our investment officer reports began on, or are found on page 8 and page 9. These reports really have normal activity reported for the third quarter of fiscal year 2022. Just on the Financial Education Endowment Fund, there's really only two sort of notable items. One is there's some outgoing transfers that were for some grant payments, and then just the change in value in the market. There's some market adjustments, negative market adjustments in Q3, but I think that's normal considering the particular economic conditions, but otherwise normal activity in these two funds.
Okay. Commissioner Retta.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending, pages 10 and 11 of the Investment Officer Report. The reports are really representing business as usual. There's nothing significant or nothing that I think requires any further discussion or any question that there might be, of course, we would answer. And so I would submit it as documented here.
Okay, thank you. And Commissioner Cooper?
On page 11 is the report on our seized funds. We do not have any seized funds at this time. On page 12 would be the trust-funded prepaid guarantee fund report. On the deductions and additions are slightly less than $20,000. I will point you to an item on item B under 1B, $16,846. There's also, so that's, that is a deduction, but it's also an addition down below in item two. That was a an item entry made in mistake, so it's a debit and a credit, so it has no balance, has no impact on the balance. The rest of it's normal activity. But then if you'll go down to page 13, which is the insurance funded prepaid guarantee fund, where you have addition of $33,990, that $16,000 mentioned above is in there. So that should have gone into the insurance funded guarantee fund, and it went into the other one by mistake. So a debit in, a credit out, debit in, whatever it is. So other than that, Madam Chair, there's just formal activity.
Do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the agency's 2022 third quarter investment officer reports?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second by Philip Hall.
Any discussion? All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Ayes have it and the motion passes. We will now move on to item D, Commissioner Pettitone.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And so item D is the readoption of our investment policy. Agencies are required to have their investment policies, or it's good practice that we review these and readopt these, and the commission readopt these annually. And so this is the annual readoption of the policy. The agencies, you have a handout on these and a revision on this particular item. We have worked together and come up with a consistent, a more consistent approach to how we deal with these particular items. Under unauthorized investments, we've modified the language as it relates to, there's a number of companies that are now on that agencies are prohibited from investing with, and so we were able to capture that more generically, I would say, in a clause here and ensure that we don't have to go back and deal with all those particular individual items. And so the agencies have consistently made that change, and you have handouts that have that. So you have a red line version, and then you have a clean version of those policies. And that's and then following the policy, we report to you, ours is on page 31, an update of all the individuals that are involved with the investments, and they receive training, or required to receive training every 2 years within the biennium. And so there's an update of where we stand on the investment training. And Madam Chair, that concludes my report on investment policy.
Great. Commissioner Retta?
If you go to page 33, I would echo the same comments with respect to unauthorized investments. We have made revisions accordingly, and it does have, it covers the topic better. And it also, I think, provides for consistency in the reporting. So I would submit that as a change. And then on page 39, you go into the listing of training that has been involved in individuals, primary and secondary investment officers. And with that, I'll conclude my report.
Okay. Commissioner Cooper.
Madam Chair, our starts on page 47. It's the same comments that Mr. Pettijohn made. We have for your approval an amendment, a hard copy. So that's what we would propose that y'all would vote on and approve.
Do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the readoption of the investment policies for the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner, Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending, excuse me, and the Texas Department of Banking?
Madam Chair, would you include the motion as modified?
As modified, excuse me.
Thank you.
So moved, Philip Holt.
Is there a second?
Second, Hector Sella.
Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it and the motion passes. We will now move on to item E, Commissioner Pettitone.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Item E is the third quarter financial statements. I'd like to call on Moran Diamond to present our third quarter financial statements.
Thank you, Commissioner. Moran Diamond, Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner. So you will find the third quarter financial statement on page 67 of your packet. We do apologize for some formatting issues. There were some problems with the conversion on that. We'll make sure that that all is aligned next go round. I just wanted to highlight a few items from the variance analysis. First, overall revenues are at 96% of the budget. A few items I wanted to give some more detail on. With regard to pawn shops, the revenue collected from this industry is much higher than budgeted due to timing of the renewal cycle. Renewal was opened in at the beginning of May, and we did see many pawn shops renew in May rather than June. So that is the reason for that variance. And then additionally, registered entities, the positive variance there is due to increases in registered creditor late filing fees. Throughout the remainder of the fiscal year, we do anticipate that these revenue collections are not going to be substantial. Moving to expenditures, overall expenditures are 89% of the budget. A few items of note there, professional fees. This category is 65% over budget due to accounting services expenditures related to the audit completed by the state auditor's office this year. Additionally, information technology, this category is under budget due to timing of projects and expenses. We anticipate, anticipated updates to Alex have not been completed in Q3, but we do anticipate payment of some IT expenses related to website updates and other projects will be higher in Q4. And lastly, miscellaneous operating costs. This category is 18% over budget due to higher than anticipated court costs and fees for receiving electronic payments. Moving to the liquidity report, you do have an updated version of that in your printed out for you this morning. Just a few things of note there. Total cash at the end of the period was $13.6 million with $9.3 million with 9.3 months of operating costs available. We do anticipate cash reserves to drop at the end of Q4 of this fiscal year.
To about 6 months?
6 months, yes. At the end of 23, yeah.
At the end of 22.
Yeah, at the end of 22, it will be lower than it currently is.
Yes.
Okay. And that concludes our report.
That concludes our Q3.
Thank you. Commissioner Renner.
Yes, Madam Chair, on page 70, beginning on page 70, we have the operating statement and budget analysis, and Director of Operations, Antonia Antov, will provide the update.
Good morning. Antonia Antov for Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending. Our third quarter materials begin on page. I have outlined several of the important items for of the budget variance. On page 71, our revenues are 1.4% under budget, so actually it's very close to budgeted. The expenditures are 11.1% under budget overall, and most of this is caused by unfilled vacancies. They not only impact the personnel costs, but also other expenditure categories like training. Our information technology is under budget because of a security work project that we had planned, and we have decided to reschedule it for next year due to delaying some other related projects. And our out-of-state travel categories is significantly under budget, but we expect this to go up in the fourth quarter due to an out-of-state event that all of our mortgage examiners attended. So the amount should get closer to budgeted. Our liquidity report is on page 72. We have provided a revised version. We are currently at 6.95 months of reserves, and we expect that to be reduced in the fourth quarter, which is our
usually our lowest point of the year to, it's going to be very close to 6 months. This is all I have, unless you have any questions.
No questions.
That concludes the report.
Commissioner Cooper?
Chair, on page 73 starts the Texas Department of Banking. Jamie Chadley, would you come up and discuss that, please?
Good morning, Sammy Chadley, Texas Department of Banking. On page 73 is our operating statement, excuse me, for the quarter ending May 31st, 2022. As indicated for the quarter, our actual revenues are at 101% of budget. Also, our actual expenditures are at 84.1% of budget. I will go over more details on the next page. Page 74. Our variance explanations. I will go over the main items related to these variances, and please let me know if you have any questions after I go over these items. The first one, penalties, non-depository supervision. Our variance is due to higher than anticipated collective penalties, primarily from unlicensed money service businesses. Under miscellaneous revenues, our variance is due to the Texas Treasury Safekeeping Trust Company revising their interest rate calculation and also a higher rate of return than anticipated. The next item is employee compensation and benefits. We have a positive variance, and that relates to vacant staff positions. Vacancies in terms of FTEs as of May 31st, 2022, we have 7 for administrative staff and 28 for financial examiners. Any questions so far? Okay. On page 75 is our liquidity report, and it shows an unreserved cash balance of 5.72 months for the period. That's still within the liquidity policy, 2 to 6 months. Any questions? Thank you.
That concludes the report, Commissioner Cooper. Yeah. Okay. Do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the agency's 2022 third quarter financial statements?
So moved, Dr. Sevna.
Is there a second?
Second, Philip Holt.
Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it, and the motion passes. All right, we will now move on to item F. Commissioner Pettijohn, we'll start with you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Item F is the presentation of our proposed operating budget for fiscal year 2023, and the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner is respectfully presenting its proposed budget of $8,630,599 for fiscal year 2023. This budget request is for 80 full-time equivalent employees, which is the same as we budgeted for fiscal year 21. Of course, we still have some vacancies. We'll talk about that in a minute. The proposed budget reflects an increase in revenue of 10.9%. And while this is a larger increase than we presented in some time, this proposed budget is still less than approved budgets for the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner in each of the fiscal years from fiscal year 15 to 19. So those budgets were higher. So just to give some context and historical perspective on where our budget stands. During fiscal year 22, we provided healthy discounts and continued to manage our fund balance in the face of the economic and inflationary pressures, along with our staffing challenges. And these continuing challenges mandate that we react and respond. And the proposed FY23 budget answers these challenges and supports our ability to fulfill our regulatory responsibilities and maintain a qualified and tenured staff. Key budget drivers in this proposed budget are our projections for the respective industry markets, our staffing stability and retention, examination travel requirements, and information technology and cybersecurity needs. In developing this budget, we carefully projected every line item. The respective directors provided input to the budget through their staffing plans and their budget request. Historical trends were analyzed and guided our projections. Performance targets were projected in alignment with our staffing plans and our industry projections. We completed fair share analyses, including ensuring that the revenue and cost associated with registration were supported in the budget as an allocation, and then proposed discounts and assessment rates were computed accordingly. You know, we've put this comment out. We held our budget hearing early a week and a half ago or so, and we were very sought feedback on that proposal. We were grateful to receive letters of support on the budget proposal, and you have copies of those at your place. And let me just name for the record the support that we received from these organizations: the Texas Consumer Credit Coalition, the Texas Consumer Finance Association, the Texas Pond Coalition, Consumer Service Alliance of Texas, and the Texas Independent Automobile Dealers Association. And so we are very grateful for the support of the industry in developing this budget. And we appreciate their knowledge and their understanding of the importance of maintaining highly qualified and tenured staff, especially in this environment. As for the projections we've made of the industry markets, the fiscal year 22 budget projected mostly stable industry populations, and thus far those projections seem to align with our actual experience. In Q3 FY22, our licenses and registrations are almost identical to Q3 FY21 total licenses and registrations. And so for 23, we continue to project a fairly stable volume of incoming applications and a fairly consistent pattern of license renewal for business licenses, with typically 90 to 95% of our licenses projected to renew, except for credit access businesses, which that's a little bit lower, and we project about 85% of those will renew. And then, of course, those are supplemented with new applications along the way, but and those are projected as well. Staffing, a few comments on staffing. Throughout fiscal year 21 and 22, our agency has experienced turnover of various positions, not unlike many other agencies and employers. And we've been proceeding at a measured pace to hire and replace vacancies. However, market conditions have made it somewhat more difficult to fill these positions. During last year's budget hearing, I noted it'd probably take us most of 22 and even into 23 to rebuild our bench strength. And indeed, that seems to be the case. So this budget, while it staffs 80 positions, many of those are staged throughout the year as we are planning to fill certain classes of financial examiners throughout the year, not all at once. So those are contemplated in this budget. Perhaps most importantly, though, this proposal makes significant investments in our retention efforts through continued and enhanced funding for staffing. In the last 6 months, we've been focused on studying compensation and making targeted adjustments. This proposal continues funding for those moves and then contemplates further enhancements for certain positions based upon performance. The proposal includes some planned equity adjustments for certain levels of examiner positions, along with an expansion and progression of our examiner staff across the career ladder. So those are some sort of high-level comments. At this point, I want to ask Moran Diamond to continue the presentation of the proposed budget.
Thank you, Commissioner. Good morning, Moran Diamond. Starting with revenue, the proposed budget for FY23 includes a 10.9% increase in revenue, but does still include generous discounts for pawn shops, regulated lenders, and motor vehicle sales finance licensees. As the commissioner mentioned, we do carefully consider the effect on the industries. In developing and proposing this budget, we have considered each industry's fair share of fees and have again correlated discounts with that analysis. In analyzing each industry's fair share in the fiscal year 23 budget process, adjustments were made to ensure each industry's annual assessments correlated to their workload and population allocation. For example, in fiscal year 22, pawn shops received a 50% discount. In fiscal year 23, the proposed budget forecasts a discount of 20% to align fees collected with workload attributed to pawn shops and their proportion of the licensee population. The agency will continue to monitor and evaluate discounts and adjust when appropriate. Moving to expenditures, the commissioner mentioned staffing. A little bit more on that. The proposed budget for fiscal year 23 includes an increase of 7.5% overall in employee compensation. which will be used primarily for retention of top-producing employees and recruitment of high-caliber candidates. Human capital is a significant asset for the OCCC, and a comprehensive plan must be in place to ensure appropriate tenure throughout the organization, which in turn helps manage turnover. Retention and recruitment are critical to execute the mission of the OCCC, and we believe it benefits industry groups, the public, and the agency when knowledgeable, experienced staff represent the OCCC. Moving to travel expenditures, while the fiscal year 23 travel budget projects a 16% decrease overall in travel, and comparing fiscal year 22 estimated actual spending to the fiscal year 23 travel budget, we do see an increase of 18% in that budget. These wide swings in travel are still related to our recovery from the pandemic and establishing normal patterns for travel. The proposed budget anticipates a traditional examination travel schedule while also considering historical spending patterns correlated to licensee population. Moving to professional fees, this category includes accounting, architecture, and legal services, among a few other items. From fiscal year 22 estimated actual spending to the budgeted amount for fiscal year 23, we do see a decrease of about 11%. However, the budgeted amount for fiscal year 22 compared to the budgeted amount for fiscal year 23 is where we do see a significant increase, which is primarily due to future facilities planning. Information technology, in that category, the proposed budget includes funding for technology modernization and cybersecurity enhancements while also maintaining operations. Some of these projects are outlined in our agency priority document for fiscal year 23, such as migrating to the Microsoft Office 365 suite and continued enhancements to Alex, the online system. Lastly, with regard to the fund balance, this budget proposes a small deficit of revenues over expenditures, which will be covered by reserves. With this budget, the agency does anticipate approximately 6 months of liquidity for operating expenses at the end of fiscal year 23. That concludes my explanation remarks. Now I'll turn it back to Commissioner Pennington.
And really, that concludes our presentation on the budget.
Thank you. We'll move on to Commissioner Retta.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Go to page 79. It's for the fiscal year, the proposed fiscal year 2023 operating budget. Presentation takes place. And that's again Antonia Antop, Director of Operations, to come in, and she'll go through some of the more salient aspects of the budget and note significant differences with the explanatory comments. But just as an introduction, we did follow a very similar model in terms of approach, with Antonia having multiple meetings with the directors to cover resource requirements, anticipated expenses, industry developments that could impact volumes and activity levels, and then looked hard at assessments and fees. And then we met on multiple occasions as well to go through different scenarios and to review the progress and elements of the budget in detail. A couple of points that she will provide more detail on, but I think certainly in terms of personnel, it's static in terms of the number of staff. However, given the competitive market for attracting and retaining talent, and given the compensation increase required to deal with that, and then changes in the composition and allocation between divisions of staff, that all will account for the increase that we're proposing on the personnel side. Fees and assessments have also increased, but I would point out there that the fees that we have are considerably below other states in terms, and if we're not the lowest, we're quite close to the lowest, and certainly the lowest percentile in terms of the fees. And so the comparable fees in other states are considerably higher. And then lastly, I would note that we have received letters of support from the Independent Bankers Association of Texas, the North Texas Association of Mortgage Professionals, the Texas Mortgage Bankers Association, and also the Texas Bankers Association. So with that, I would ask Antonia to provide the detail.
Thank you, Commissioner. For the record, Antonia Antoff, Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending. The proposed budget for fiscal year 23 provides for 17.5% increase in revenues and 10.4% increase of expenditures compared to the budget approved for fiscal year 22. The main budget driver this year is increasing compensation for staff to attract and retain good quality employees and remain competitive with state and federal counterparts. Licensing revenues are budgeted 31.7% higher than prior budget due to planned increase of some of our licensing fees effective November 1, which is the beginning of our renewal cycle. The new RMLO fee, residential mortgage loan originator fee, will increase from $50 to $70, and the renewal fee will increase from $40 to $50. New company fees will increase from $150 to $200, and a renewal fee from $100 to $150. The department has decreased fees for many years and has and still has, and will have, even after the increase, some of the lowest fees in the nation. The department saw a significant increase in licensing population in the last several years. Total count of licensees and registrants went from over 38,000 in August of 2020 to over 64,000 in July of 2022. In order to maintain adequate license processing time and appropriate examination frequency, the department added 7 positions to its mortgage regulation staff, 4 of which were not budgeted. The increase of license fees will go towards continuing funding of those positions, and any excess will be added to our reserves. Thrift revenues, we're budgeting to collect $4.08 million in assessments based on the lower of risk-weighted or total assets and assessed at 75% of our approved maximum rates. The assessments will be collected throughout the year in 4 equal installments. The collected thrift and mortgage revenues will be sufficient to cover the total cost of the industry's occupation. We have budgeted $0 for penalties as every year, so that no part of our operating budget is dependent on the amount of assessed and collected penalties. The miscellaneous revenues category has an increase because of the budget. The biggest portion of this category represents the depository interest we receive from safekeeping trusts, where all of our funds are held and typically invested in overnight repurchase agreements. As a result of the increasing interest rates, we have budgeted for a significant increase in the amount of depository interest received in fiscal year 23. Moving on to the expenditures. Personnel cost category represents 90% of the total expenditure budget and is 7.8% higher than the budget approved for fiscal year 22. The increase is due primarily to increasing the compensation levels for existing and new staff. We are reducing the positions for the thrift division with 5. The newly added positions are as follows: 1 licensing investigator, 2 mortgage examiners, 1 attorney, and 1 HR specialist. The reduction of positions in thrift examination section comes as a result of reevaluating the staffing needs and applies to vacant positions. We're also budgeting for the development of our internship program and adding multiple paid internship positions in an effort to attract college students to consider a career in the state government. The budget provides for merit increases, promotions, and equity adjustments for multiple employees to reward good performance and remain competitive with state and federal counterparts and encourage staff retention. The stability of our staff benefits the industry in both retained knowledge of the departmental statutes, rules, and procedures, and also specific regulated entities and their management. We're budgeting for a decrease of 7.8% for travel expenditures than prior year's budget. Based on our estimates and on actual travel levels in 2022, the travel will not be as high as pre-COVID levels. We have increased our estimates for out-of-state travel because some events that our staff attends out-of-state have resumed being held in person. Professional fees and services are increasing 37% higher than prior's budget. The increase is due to increase in facility fees related to our potential location. We have budgeted for nominal decrease of 6% in the office utilities. That's mostly related to decreased office presence. The budgeted amount for rental costs for fiscal year 23 is 8,000 higher than prior year. We're adding amounts for rental space fees at multiple college job fairs and industry events. Amounts for communication expenses are budgeted at 16.3% higher than prior year due to increased charges for internet bandwidth. Fiscal year 23 budget also includes the cost for telecom, which is an information service only used during legislative sessions. The information technology costs are similar to last year. Fiscal year 23 budget includes amounts for cybersecurity project, scheduled replacement of our firewall and router, and the monthly fees for Office 365, as well as the monthly fees for the DRS data center for housing and maintaining our network. The department's miscellaneous operating expenditures have been budgeted 5.1%, or just under $7,000 lower than last year. The decrease is due to lower budget amounts for postage and fees paid to the Texas.gov for electronic payments from licensees. At the end of fiscal year 23, we are budgeting for an excess of approximately $261,000 that will increase our reserves to our reserves about half a month. And that concludes my prepared remarks, unless you have any questions.
No questions.
No.
Thank you.
Okay, that would conclude our report.
Thank you. And Commissioner Zubel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Department of Banking budget starts on page 83. I'm going to make some general comments and then turn it over to Sammy Chadley, our Chief Financial Officer. This has been another very interesting year for the department, as well as the industries that we regulate. And the Bank and Trust Division, the volume of assets under supervision continues to increase due to organic growth, and we continue to have banks convert to our charter. We were a retail operation. For some of you with business minds, I would say that same store sales are up, and new stores are being opened, so it's a positive trend from a business standpoint. On the non-depository side, applications for new money business licenses continue, money service businesses licenses continue. As in the past, our largest budget item by far is personnel cost. Our financial examiners are highly trained, considered by many to be the best in the country. And our support staff is highly skilled. Through 2022, we have been understaffed. This means that our existing personnel have been operating at a high level just to keep up. And the problem is, I think we've all discussed, the problem is our inability to hire and retain qualified personnel. Every time we seem to get ahead, then something happens and we fall back. It's always been this case, it's been like this since I've been commissioner for nearly 15 years now. But currently, this trend has been amplified. The commission in previous meetings have discussed the economic hardship that everyone is facing, including higher cost of living and inflation. So in our budget analysis, after quite a bit of intensive evaluation, we're presenting this budget, and it includes an across-the-board salary increase of 7%. All personnel are included because all personnel are facing the same issues, and it is appropriate, in my opinion, to award the team that has performed so well. As you know, for years now, our goal has been to pay our examiners at least 95% of their FDIC peer. In our strategic plan this year that you've approved, we changed that 95%, and we changed it that we want to pay at least commensurate with what our FDIC peers are paid. And we have made improvements toward this goal for several years now, and I'll call it baby steps. This 7% gets us to at least 100% of the FDIC peer from the trainee level up through our review examiner ranks. So if approved, this will be a major accomplishment for the department. And while this budget indicates a budget-to-budget increase of only 3 FTEs, the actual number from where we are today to the budget indicates that we have a shortage of 34 FTEs that will have to be hired in 23. And the budget reflects these will be hired in increments. At the same time, we've been suffering from the ability to train large numbers of new personnel. Our ability has declined over the past 2 years as the pandemic resulted in the normal training schools offered by CSBS and the federal regulators have been canceled. The result is that we've only been able to hire a handful of trainees at one time. This budget provides for improved recruiting and internal training of larger groups, regardless of whether the external schools resume or not. We think this is imperative in order for us to fill the void that we have. It also includes important areas such as our continuation of our efforts in improving cybersecurity and our regulated entities. Now that concludes my remarks. I'll be glad to answer any questions, but Sammy, I'd like to turn it over to you.
Again, for the record, Sammy Chadley, Texas Department of Banking. In our budget preparation process, each divisional area was tasked with creating their budget using historical, current, and forecast information and incorporating strategic planning initiatives and agency priorities developed for fiscal year 2023. As we have done historically, cost centers for each industry were reviewed to make sure each industry is covering its related costs. Our proposed 2023 budget shows an increase of 8.42% over 2022 budget. The largest increase is in personnel costs with three new positions that Commissioner mentioned, including a financial examiner, project manager, and a consumer assistance specialist. So our FTEs went up from 202 to 205. In our continued effort to have our examiner-related series be comparable to the FDIC and alleviate high inflation, and we are proposing an equity adjustment of approximately 7% to all staff. The 2023 budget assumes more normal-like travel patterns, includes items related to continued cloud migration efforts and validation of such efforts, and two contractors for program areas. The biggest driver of the budget increase is the increase in bank assets under supervision and conversion and merger activity. We believe that with this budget increase, we can continue to fulfill our responsibilities. You will notice that our 2022 estimated expenditures are approximately $4.2 million below our budgeted expenditures for FY 2022. This is mainly due to unfilled vacancies, including retirements, lower travel and training expenditures due to the pandemic, and professional services fees that did not materialize. The 2023 budget, proposed budget, is based on the department conducting 820 examinations, processing 358 applications, notices, and filings, and resolving 260 complaints. Our 2023 budget has revenues projected at $34 million, which does not include $12.3 million in bank assessments that are not expected to be assessed to operate the department. These assessment reductions will allow the department to cover similar expected expenditures of $34 million. I will go over revenue information right now for 2023. Assessments are approximately 91% of our revenues, and our revenue projections include the following: bank asset growth of approximately 19.34%, as well as conversion and merger activity. Also projects normal level of problem banks. Revenue increase for non-depository supervision area to cover for higher travel projections, and also includes interest revenue increase due to higher rates. In our budget review process, and in accordance with 7 TAC 3.36E, we have determined that our current assessments for the bank and trust area will cover this budget request. Next, I'll go over the expenditure side. Our personnel costs is our major expenditure category and accounts for most of the budget increase. The 2023 proposed budget includes 34 vacancies that are staggered and filled throughout the fiscal year, and also, as mentioned before, includes 3 additional FTEs. We have a projected 28.5% of salaries in this budget proposal that was used for benefits, with an additional 1.5% mandated by the legislature for healthcare retirement contributions. We believe these increases are necessary to retain qualified staff, remain competitive, will help postpone retirements while we continue to train our tenured staff. I will go over a couple of more items related to the variances between 2020 budget and 2022 budget. Our estimated travel is at $1.9 million and it's $400,000 more than FY 2022. This figure assumes more normal-like travel patterns and is determined by reviewing the projected examinations and training needs and estimates for each of those events. Travel is based on all vacant positions being filled in the month they are planned to. Next, professional services. Professional fees include a cloud migration, third-party review, a potential state auditor audit fees. Space rental increases due to increased recruited events and regional office staff professional training. Under information technology, there's an increase due to acquiring additional laptops, security information and event management system, and increased Oracle cloud infrastructure cost. There's an increased training for current and incoming staff for development and retention. Again, training is based on actual needs of examiners and staff and is predicated on the department being fully staffed. Also, it's predicated on receiving all classes with requests from the federal training providers. Training varies by year depending on the levels of financial examiners and their core class needs. Finally, under miscellaneous costs, the biggest increase there is for 2 contract employees, one in the accounting area, one in the program area. Cash position this year, fiscal 2022, we did not utilize $12.3 million in available bank and trust assessments and $1.05 million in non-depository assessments as we continuously manage our cash balance growth for compliance with liquidity policy guidelines. We also anticipate our unreserved cash balance for at fiscal year end 2022 to be within these guidelines. Finally, the 2023 budget also keeps unreserved cash within 2 to 6 months per the policy. With this budget, the agency can carry out its mission, meet performance standards, maintain competitive salary structure, and meet our standards of service. Finally, I'd like to thank Commissioner Cooper and Deputy Commissioner Rodriguez for their guidance and Krista Jones for her help in preparing this budget.
Thank you, Sammy. Madam Chair, we also have letters of support from the Independent Bankers Association of Texas, IBAT, and the Texas Bankers Association, the TBA. And I would like to recognize the hard work of our entire team, but especially Deputy Commissioner Wendy Rodriguez, Sammy Chadley, which you heard, and also Krista Jones. So, Madam Chair, that completes our presentation, and we stand by for questions.
Thank you. Any questions?
Just a comment. I would highly recommend each agency to continue to pursue the summer intern program. I think that's a wonderful asset to bring on board. You know, after spending 3 months with the agency, I think these folks will be highly encouraged to come back and take on a full-time job upon graduation. So I highly recommend y'all continue that program. I think that's wonderful.
We agree.
Great.
Any questions?
No questions. Lots of work, lots of great work done on all budgets. And I think we're right on target.
I don't have any questions either. It's a great job. Thank you. So next, we're going to hear from some witnesses. We do have 2 witness registration cards that have been completed. So I'll call on the first one, Steve Skurlock, if you would like to come forward.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Chair and members of the Audit Committee, as well as the Finance Commission members sitting behind me, hearing my amplified voice, this is impressive. I haven't heard it in a while. It's a little odd. I am Steve Skurlock. I'm Director of Government Relations, for Independent Bankers Association of Texas, IBAT, as was mentioned earlier, for the new members of the commission, congratulations, and Commissioner Retta, congratulations on your appointment. For those of you that have been here a while, it's good to see you. It's been a while, and virtual meetings make it remarkably easy. So I'm glad to be back, and hopefully we'll do so again in the very near future. I am appearing very briefly today to convey IBAT's support of the FY 2023 budgets for the banking and savings and mortgage lending departments. We are obviously, and Leslie's heard this 27 times roughly, but we are obviously very appreciative of the relationship we have with the OCCC and value the work that they do. Our banks do not pay any of the freight for that agency. So therefore, we're leaving them hanging in the wind. My apologies.
We'd be happy to have them help support.
I bet that's right.
And
we need another regulator.
I know, right? Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that would just add to the alphabet soup.
We have reviewed the budgets as posted, as well as additional information provided by both agencies. I actually had a sit down with the banking department as well, and we have, as Commissioner Cooper and Commissioner Retta indicated, issued letters of support for both budgets. These budgets reflect very reasonable increases in both revenue and expense side, and we believe are indicative of the historic fiscal responsibility exhibited by these agencies. We note that increases in expenses are concentrated on attracting and retaining qualified staff, both of which are critical, and that is, in our assessment, is a very worthwhile goal. We continue to strongly support adequate funding for the important work these folks do for our industry and our state. We very much appreciate the flexibility and multiple positive outcomes of SDSI status for all of the Finance Commission agencies. I would point out that this is especially important in times of economic stress, and now is certainly not the time to limit their ability to respond quickly, efficiently, and importantly, fairly. We are fully aware of the important work that this commission does, and we're very much appreciative of your efforts and the relationship we have with both the Finance Commission and the agencies under your purview. We also appreciate the transparency of this process and our opportunities to provide input. I would be happy to attempt to answer any questions and appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Thanks for joining us.
Yes, thank
pleasure.
You.
Thank you.
All right, our second witness is Chris Verlo.
Good morning, y'all.
Hey, Chris.
It's great to actually see everybody in person. Grateful and thank goodness for the rain, right? My name is Christopher Lowe, President and CEO of the Texas Bankers Association. Very pleased to be here in support of the budgets for the Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending and for the Department of Banking. On the savings and mortgage lending side, we believe that the proposed budget increases are absolutely reasonable. Our savings bank members appreciate that the costs for state savings bank supervision are currently at 75% of the maximum assessment rates. SDSI status of the Finance Commission and the agencies under its purview really do allow for prudent budgetary management, and that status allows state agencies to pay salaries commensurate with their federal agencies. Personnel has to be a top priority, and in the SML budget, we certainly do see that. In particular, really want to say thank you for your relationships with the universities. We are seeing a banking education renaissance taking place at universities across the state of Texas. And those connections to those universities is going to be critically important from a talent standpoint. So we salute you for that, Commissioner. So with that, we certainly ask for adoption of the Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending budget. On the state Department of Banking side, Commissioner Cooper's aim to put a focus on staff right now is certainly very appreciated by our members who interact with his staff on a daily basis. It's a focus on the people. And the increase, particularly on the employee compensation part at 7%, which for the first time puts them at or above their FDIC peers, is really very critical. The budget in focusing on personnel really makes that connection back to our banks and seeing what's really happening for them on a daily basis. TBA also operates an information sharing and analysis organization to combat cyber threats. And I really wanted to focus on that. It's critical for our community bank members in particular. We're seeing the threats expand at really an impressive rate. And unfortunately, our banks are having to deal with these issues on a daily basis. So the focus on information technology by Commissioner Cooper and his department in this budget is to be commended. And Commissioner, I want to thank you for the communication and the collaboration with our community banks on cyber threats. You're leading nationally as well as in the state of Texas. And then finally, given the inflationary pressures that we're seeing, we believe the 8% overall increase is completely reasonable. So we commend the commissioner and his staff for their budget. That concludes my remarks. Happy to take any questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. Those would be all the witness registration cards that we had. So next we'll approve each of the individual budgets. So we'll go through three votes. First is, do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner's fiscal year 2023 operating budget?
So moved. Philip Holt.
Any discussion? All right. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it and the motion passes. Next, do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending's fiscal year 2023 operating budget?
Hector Sedna, so moved.
Is there a second?
Second, Philip Holt.
Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it and the motion passes. Lastly, do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the Texas Department of Banking's fiscal year 2023 operating budget?
Hector Sedna, so moved.
Is there a second?
Second, Philip Holt.
Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The ayes have it and the motion passes. So we will now move on to item G, Commissioner Pettijohn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In the interest of time, there's a written report provided on page 85 related to the activities from the Financial Education Endowment Fund. I'd be happy to answer any questions of this normal activity.
Okay. Thank you. Do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the activities of the Texas Financial Education Endowment Fund?
So moved. Philip Holt.
Is there a second?
Second. Hector Sedna.
Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The ayes have it and the motion passes. We will now move on to item H. The Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending and the Texas Department of Banking will need to discuss this item in executive session. It is 9:28 a.m. on August 19, 2022. At this time, the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission will go into closed session pursuant to sections 551076 and 551089 of the Texas Government Code. For the record, attending for the Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending are Commissioner Retta, Director of Operations Antonio Antov, and Xerxes Pascua. We are anticipating an executive session for the SML lasting approximately 20 to 30 minutes. The Texas Department of Banking will follow next, and attending for the department are Commissioner Cooper, Deputy Commissioner Wendy Rodriguez, General Counsel Catherine Ryer, Director of Management Information Services Sean Miller, and Information Security Officer Jesse Garcia. We are anticipating an additional 20 to 30 minutes. Commissioners, is this correct?
That is correct.
Correct, Madam Chair, and then the meeting will be held in our conference room. So this group can stay here.
Okay. And then lastly, the Assistant Attorney General Sarah Wolf will be in attendance for both agency sessions as well. All right. It is 9:56 a.m. on August 19, 2022, and the commission is now back in open session. No action was taken in closed session. There being no further business, this meeting of the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission of Texas is now adjourned. The time is 9:57 a.m.